Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: Walking in Love. Chapter 3. The Love Necessary for the Practice of Love. When the theme of love is approached, one of the interesting aspects to be observed about it is that in the original language in which the scriptures were recorded, more specifically regarding the part that is commonly called the New Testament, there are different words used in their texts to referring to people's relationships with other individuals or aspects that they enjoy, but which are all translated into the same word love in several other languages. While the texts recorded in the first centuries of Christian life contain different words for the love between friends, the love of money, the love between a couple, the brotherly love between fellow believers, and the love of God, in several contemporary languages everything is converged to the same word love, thus making it difficult, in a sense, to understand the love in which a Christian is called by God to walk, or obscuring the understanding that there can be a big difference between the practice of love and the kind of love that someone uses in this practice. In other words, just as in many different aspects of life, there is also a distinction regarding love between the intent of practicing something and the content used to carry out a certain practice. Just for the purpose of an example, let us consider a thirsty person and a person who intends to give something to quench one neighbor's thirst. A situation in which the act of giving something to a neighbor to try to quench one's thirst could be seen as the practice of the act or the practice of what, in this example, we consider equivalent to a supposed practice of help or love, while the type of liquid offered to the neighbor would be referring to the content that is extended to another person in the practice of the act of helping one's fellow man. Nevertheless, continuing with the example in focus, if the person claiming to want to help one's neighbor extends to him or her a type of liquid that does not have the proper properties to quench the thirst, the person who is claiming to want to help another individual, despite having performed an act to try to help one's neighbor, did not actually help, for the content used was inappropriate. If the person in this example hands a glass of salted or contaminated water to a thirsty person, even if one does not know it, one will only aggravate one's neighbor's situation with this practice. Thus, combining the practice of an act with the content adopted in this practice is essential or crucial to the theme of love. A person, for instance, may brotherly love another person with a type of social love, where brotherly love is the action and social love is the content. However, with this combination, one does not carry out the instruction that God teaches in His written word about how one should practice love toward one's fellow people. The Word of God, in instructing Christians that they are called to walk in love, also instructs them with what kind of love they should practice walking in love, calling Christians to practice love also with the content that the Lord has instructed them to use. Therefore, to love according to God's will equals the practice of love plus the kind of love suitable for practicing love. In the case of brotherly love, for example, the practice of this love, the act, needs to be carried out with the love, the content, that God grants to each Christian for him or her to love one's fellow believers of faith in Christ Jesus. Let us see below a text that exemplifies the considerations of these last paragraphs. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. But concerning brotherly love, Philadelphia, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love, agapeo, one another. Brotherly love, called Philadelphia in ancient Greek, expresses the context and practice toward whom love should be practiced. Now, the expression "for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another," in turn, makes use of another word for love, which is used to express the love that is in God and that comes from God, and which is called in the same ancient Greek as agapeo. So, the instruction of the scriptures regarding brotherly love is that Christians should practice love towards their fellow believers or love one another with the love that comes from God. Or yet, The practice of love that a Christian is called by God to practice should always have the love of God as its substance or content. The practice of brotherly love may be carried out, for instance, with other contents such as the so-called love of friends or love coming from a person's soul, philos, the love of money, philargyria, the love of a physical attraction or a romantic love, eros. But none of these types come to represent the specific love with which God calls Christians to love one another. A person full of the love of money, for example, may want to be fraternal and affectionate toward one's fellow men, but one always does so under the goal of supplying the demands of one's greed and avarice. This person can be kind to one's neighbor, include others in one's closest circle of relationships, and open one's house to receive one's fellow people, but one still does it out of self-interest and as long as this satisfies one's greed. In this practice, however, there is none of the love of God with which the Lord calls Christians to practice brotherly love. An aspect also addressed in the themes another gospel or a different gospel and the Christian and the riches. Still another way brotherly love may be practiced is based on the content of one's own soul that seeks to act out of sympathy or empathy towards others. This kind of love, however, also does not yet express the type of love with which God calls a Christian to practice brotherly love, for no person has in one's mere natural condition a love that is according to the standard of the love that comes from God or is given by the Lord to carry out the calling to walk in love. Unlike in the situation of living and walking under the law of Moses, under which people aspired to love God and their neighbor through the effort of the flesh or soul, Christians are called in Christ Jesus to love God and their fellow people with the same love that was in Christ himself. Living under the law of Moses, human beings have never managed, in their efforts, to fulfill the commandment to love that the people chose in the desert after leaving Egypt. However, from Christ, a new and superior commandment was introduced by the Lord to serve as a reference or basis for the practice of love. John 13, 34-35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Christ loved his disciples with the love of the Heavenly Father that was in him through the Holy Spirit. That is, the love of God, the proper content to carry out the practice of love appropriately, is granted by God to a person's heart when one receives the status of a new creature in Christ Jesus and is poured into a person's heart as the fruit of the presence of the Holy Spirit in one's life. God's love, the content, cannot be generated by human effort, for it is the result or fruit of the very presence of God's Spirit in a person's heart. Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Thus, when the Scriptures teach that the fruit of the Spirit is love, it is because love is not the fruit of human effort, a person's soul, or a person's flesh, but it is the result of the work of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. Romans 7:18. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. Given this, when God calls Christians to have love and practice love, Christians are not called to try to produce heavenly love on their own. Instead, they are called to welcome the Holy Spirit in their hearts so that the Spirit of the Lord will make God's love be present and manifested in their hearts. Many Christians, or those who call themselves Christians, have made enormous efforts to carry out the practice of love. However, because they do not welcome or do not give space to the Holy Spirit's work in their lives, they simply do not open their hearts to be able to act with the love of God as the content or substance of their attempts to practice love. Repeating once more, the fruit of the Spirit is love. So, love is not the fruit of the human effort to love. Therefore, 1. To love God with the love of God, a person needs first to have received the love of God in one's life to be able to use it. 2. To love one's spouse with the love of God, and not just with the natural love between a man and a woman, it is equally necessary for an individual to have first received God's love in one's life. 3. To love children, parents, fellow believers, neighbors, and even enemies with the love of God, it is necessary for an individual first to have received the love of God in one's life. God Himself is the source of love for a Christian to have the love of God to be able to use it, practice it, or walk in it. For this reason, the Christian also needs to previously receive it from the Lord to act in line with God's calling for one's life. Recalling the third point mentioned in the previous chapter, we see that the love of God is first shared with a person or even poured into a person's heart so that, having received heavenly love, one uses it to practice it. Romans 5:5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Thus, since the possibility of a Christian acting in the love of God results from one's attitude of receiving and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in one's life, it is crucial for a Christian not to find oneself in a condition of resistance to the Spirit of the Lord and His voice, as exemplified in the example below. Acts 7:51. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you. Finally, if we seek to be even more precise in the approach mentioned at the beginning of this chapter about what it means to practice love according to God's will, we could then say that loving according to the will of God is expressed by the practice of love carried out with the love given by God and which is poured into the heart of the Christian by the Holy Spirit granted by the Lord to the Christian. In this way, whether in action or speech, the practice of love that a Christian is called by God to perform or to walk in it should always be carried out with the love that comes from the Heavenly Father or the love that always was and is in Christ Jesus and that is given by the Holy Spirit to those who receive Christ as Lord in their hearts. When a Christian unites one's yearning to practice love with the use of the love given by God to carry out this practice, one is broadly aligned with the Lord to walk in what one is called to walk in the Lord. 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus.